Shalom, shalom.
Can you live, Rashawn?
All right, shalom, shalom, everybody. Rashawn Messianic Bible Club is live, and we are ready to go with finishing up last night's message. The Lord had me kind of preaching last night. I didn't realize I'd preached till somebody said that was a classic preaching message. And I said, was it? Yeah, I guess it was. Because what the Lord had laid on my heart was that we have so many good Christians that are falling for so much foolishness that it can be heartbreaking to see someone listening to. And you know why we fall into heartbreak? I'm going to tell you guys something. If you listen to everybody, eventually something's going to sound good. You know what I mean? You can't lend your ear to everybody, you know. They're listening to this guy, Tim Hendrickson, and he's talking about once saved, always saved. But you know what I realize? This is how they get the children of God. They talk about the rapture, and when they talk about the rapture, that pulls you in. Yep. And then they give you their doctrine. You know what I mean? It's happened twice. That, you know, that we get someone, well, it happened with three different people. You get someone that's talking about the rapture, and everybody, oh, this guy's talking about the rapture. This is awesome. And then by the time you get to what his doctrine is about Jesus, you're like, oh, my goodness, it's completely different from Scripture, you know. So Scotty Clark did that. Then this Barry Scarborough or whatever, he did it. You know, he talked rapture, but then you found out, oh, okay, later that he was on some mega grace thing that you can just sin as much as you want and then you can still go to heaven. Then now, I guess a new guy, I've never even heard of him, Tim something, but all of them, it's just amazing that they're pulling people into this doctrine that Jesus Christ says in the Bible, in Revelation, I hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans was, once you're saved, you're always saved. Don't worry about your sin. So, and Jesus says, I hate that doctrine. So if Jesus hated, I hate it too. And so, and I will preach against it from anybody. And I'm not going anywhere until the rapture. I think my job's over. When the rapture happens, my job's over, but I see that day approaching very closely.
Amen.
Okay, the name of this message last night, which I almost got to, was God's rapture is the only thing that matters. For all of us Christians, the main thing we have to think about and talk about is God's plan. It is not what the world's doing. They have plans from you know, AI to making men feminine to, they got all kinds of plans, okay? My thing is, we have to know what God's plan is, so we understand. I can't get on your plan. I'm preparing for God's plan. Amen. Okay? And so now I'm going to say the Shema prayer this morning, and I'm saying the Shema prayer because the Lord's prayer is beautiful to me because it's asking the Lord to come and bring thy kingdom. But the Shema prayer is letting us know that God expects something out of us. Yes. And that's where we're losing our Christian brothers and sisters.
Amen.
They don't want to love the Lord thy God with all their heart, their soul, and their mind. Okay? And obedience is always going to be the issue from Genesis to Revelation is, do you want to keep God's command? Do you want to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Or do you want him just to be your religious savior? Mm. And he's not going to be your religious savior if he can't be Lord of your life.
Amen.
Okay, let's say the Shema prayer, and then we're going to get started. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Ve'avata et Adonai Elocha. Bekov levavaka, uvko nefishka, uvko mechodeka. Vehayu hadevarim ha'eli asher noki mishvacha hayom al levavaka. Veshanatam levenecha, vedirbartar bam, beshifticha, vevetecha, uvletecha, vederech, ushachbecha, ukumecha. Ushatam laot al yadecha. We have something going on at the door. Okay. All right. So we're going to start over here.
Yeah.
All right. Because Pastor Ben had to, someone's bamming at the door. Okay. Sma Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad Vehovata et Adonai Elocha Bekov Levavaka Uvko Nefishka Uvko Mechodeka Vehayu HaDevarim HaEli Asher Anoki Mishvacha Hayom Al Levavaka Veshanatam Levenecha Vedirbatar Bam Beshiftecha Bevetecha Uvletecha Vederek Ushachbecha Ukumecha Ushatam Laot Al Yadecha Vehayu Letutafot Bain Ayaneka Utaktam al mizuzot b'techa uvisharecha. Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach anachnu tefilim. And I want to say these words in English. It says, hear, and the word hear is hear and obey, okay? Smai means to hear and obey your God, because the Lord your God is Echad, okay? He is one, okay? And it says, then you will love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Let these words, which I command you today, be upon your heart. Repeat them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, bind them as a sign on your arm and let them be as a frontlet between your eyes. Write them on the doorpost of your gate. Amen. Okay? So God wants you to make sure that his word is important in your life. To do what? To obey it. And to teach your children to do what? To obey it. And he's saying to mark it. Put it in certain places in your home so that you remember that the word of God is your guide, okay?
Amen.
So praise God, B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, anachnu tefilim, and I am anxious to get started on this message because I want us to know, born again, Bible-believing, believers of Yeshua HaMashiach, believers of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, okay? Someone asked me, Pastor, is it okay that we call Jesus Jesus? I'm like, when did that become a problem? Because, you know, you got a whole bunch of people, they just learned Hebrew, and now they're going, his real name is Yeshua, and if you don't say his real name, oh, I'm like, come on.
Know who he is.
Thank you. And you know, I want to ask, my question was to the person is, who created the languages? God. You know Satan has never created anything?
Nope.
Probably pig Latin, but no, kids created that, right? So he's never created anything, all right? The J didn't come into existence in the 1400s.
Right.
All this foolishness that these people tell you guys is nuts, okay? There's 70 languages, and I know that God knows his name in every language.
Everyone.
Rather, he's in Hawaii, Japan, Iran, America, Mexico. Jesus is always Yeshua, is always Jesus. Is in Arab, it's always Esau. Everywhere his name is spoken from the heart, God knows that language, and he knows you're speaking that, okay?
Amen.
So we have to understand that, all right?
Once that Satan did create foolishness.
Yeah. And that's the foolishness he's trying to bring forth. All right. Okay. So we're going to be in Revelation. And we're going to be in Revelation chapter... let's see. Where do we want to start today? We want to start in Revelation chapter 4 today, because in Revelation chapter 4 is the beginning, not of the tribulation, it's the beginning of the end of the church on earth, okay? Revelation chapter 4 is the beginning of the end of the church on earth, okay? The same guy who is the door, Yeshua, right? He is the door. Let me think of, okay. The ark is Jesus Christ is not, he's the door. He's the door of what? Of the ark, okay? Jesus Christ is the door. Now, for all of us wonderful Hebrew students, I don't know, you don't have to turn to this, but Pastor Ben, Dalit is the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and we know that letter to be the door, okay? The fourth candle in the menorah is the center candle. The door, the four, the door, Jesus Christ is the door. He is the one who is the door to the ark that we are supposed to get on. And we have been preaching for the last 119 years because we were born in the last generation. We were born in the Lodor HaAcharon. Amen. Okay? Now, other things we have to explain about the last generation is this. When the apostles asked Jesus about the last days, why would Jesus immediately start talking about earthquakes, famine, World War I, World War II, and the rebirth of Israel? All in chapter 4, okay? So when they ask him about the last days, he immediately takes them to the 1900s. And began speaking about things that are going to happen in the 1900s. And then in the 1900s, when it comes, and my most important prophecy of the 1900s was May 14th. But you know what? I was reading the book the other day, and the Jews did something with the Russians that year, which is Gog and Magog. They did something with Russia that year, which in 1907, that God said, you know what you have done is not good, okay? What they did was they trusted the enemy and sided with him. And then when he turned their back on them, God said to them, here, I'm gonna try and read it. Let's go to Psalms 14. Yeah, put your glasses on, mister. I think I'm young. I can't see anything on this page. Okay.
And what verse?
Let's read here at verse 1, because I really should have brought the book, but I didn't. But here it is. It says, oh, well, it begins like this. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, yeah. Okay? Now, we know who that fool was. Now, today, we've taught on that, okay? It says this again in Psalms 53, because the fool died in 1953, okay? So, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. He said, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any who understood, any who seek God. They all have turned aside, all together have become corrupt. There is none who does good. Okay. That was,
I want to know who was the fool. That's what they're asking.
That was the leader of Russia at the time. And I'm not good on names right now. Stalin, yeah. He was the guy. I'm sorry, I was in the wrong chapter. Let's go back to chapter 7.
Stalin. Psalm 7.
Yes. Psalm chapter 7, verse 1. And it says here, look, It says, O Lord, my God, in you I trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. Now, the persecution of the Jews had already begun in Russia, okay, and in all of Europe. This persecution had already begun in 1901, okay? They're trying to find a safe haven to protect themselves, and now they're trying to find if God is going to help them. And then verse 3, it says, O Lord, my God, if I have done this, if there is iniquity in my hand, if I have repaid evil to him who was at peace with me, or have plundered my enemy without cause, let my enemy pursue me and overtake me. Yet let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemy. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded, so the congregation of the people shall surround you. For their sake, therefore, return, O high, on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity. Okay, because God was angry at not only Israel, but he was also angry. But he says in verse 9, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and the mind. My defense is of God." So this is what was going on. God was angry at the Jews because they sided with the Russians, with the Khazar at that time, who was the Russian king. They had this Russian king, and they sided with him. Many of the Jews sided with him, thinking that the Russians were going to help them fight against communism. And because they were persecuting the Jews. So they sided with him, thinking that this guy was going to help them, and he didn't. Okay? He turned his back on them. The same thing that's going to happen in the tribulation, yes. Right? Yes. He did this in 1907. You understand? Uh-huh. So 120 years after 1907 is what? 20 years after of the tribulation after 2020. Amen. So God says, I'm going to recompense upon the wicked at this time. So at the end of that time, God is going to punish Russia, and he's going to come against Gog and Magog and destroy them, and they will lie. So I'm saying from 1900, God himself is organizing his whole process of how he's going to rescue his people, how he's going to bring about the tribulation. Everything has been miraculously designed. Okay, then in 1914, what happens? World War I starts on the 9th of Av. Wow. World War I starts on the 9th of Av. It is the exact same day as both temples were destroyed. So you go, wow. Okay, if you wow, okay, that's peculiar. You know what I mean? That it would start exactly on the day that both temples were destroyed. But remember who prophesied about this time being the Lador HaAcharon.
Yes.
Because Jesus says this would be the last generation. Now, in 1917, on Hanukkah, General Allenby wins back Jerusalem with a promissory note to give the land back to the Jews. On the very day of Hanukkah that he prophesied in the book of Hosea and told them, make sure you watch for this day. Okay, the 24th of Kislev. So he did that. Now you got 1914, something happens on an important Jewish day. 1917, something happens on an important Jewish day, right?
Right.
Now you get this time period where the Jews are struggling in Europe, and then you get to 1939, and they begin to cry out to God that they need help. The enemy, that evil man, is trying to destroy us. And they single it out. They don't say this nation, they say that evil man. So they're speaking of a specific person, a specific person who's coming against them. So from Psalms 39 to Psalms 45, they're crying out. But in Psalms 45, you get good news that the war is over. Okay, so God is structuring this. Now, wars and rumors of wars were before that. But then we had nations rising against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. And then now you had World War One, you had World War Two, and then 3 years after World War Two, right? There was a group of people that one third of the population of these people died during the Holocaust. And to the unbelieving eye, Israel was done. The hopes of having a strong Israel was done because 6 million of them died in the Holocaust. Okay, but now it's 1945. What happened when they thought Jesus was done? 3 days in the grave, he laid. For the next 3 years, from 1945 to 1946, 47, 48, they are back in the land, and now there's a resurrection of God's people in their own land, like there was of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I want you to see that the time has been structured, okay? The time has been structured. Now they're back in the land. 1947, God puts that in Psalms 47. This is what's going to happen. They're going to announce that Israel's going to get the land back, all the leaders of the world. That happens. 1948, it happens. Okay, then you get all of these events that are happening all the way through the scriptures concerning Israel and their struggle to stay in the land. And even in Psalms 91, when God protects them against the Scud missile.
Yeah.
And like he did last night, you know?
Yeah.
And so all of this stuff is about Israel, because even from Deuteronomy, God said, when you come back to the land in the Lador HaAcharon, in the last generation. Now, the last generation continues on, and in the 6,000th year of mankind, Donald Trump announces to the world that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews in the 120th Jubilee. 50 years before that, they won back Jerusalem in a 6-day war. 50 years before that was 1917. They announced to the world that General Allenby won Jerusalem, and they're giving it back to the Jews. So three times you got Jubilee being fulfilled, three times in a row, and that's 2017. Now, as it was, it took Israel 3 years before they actually entered into land after World War II. Now, 1917 was supposed to be our year.
Right.
As a matter of fact, in Psalm 17, the division of the whole scripture, he tells the Gentiles to rejoice because it's the end of the 6 day. Now, what do we have now? We find out something that I'm thanking God for the guy that wrote 88 Reasons for 88. I mean, think about the mockery, the laughs. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's one thing to obey God. And I think he was obeying God, because I think he had just enough information to go. Okay. He read in the scripture that God said to the Jews that for these 40 years in this generation, this my people have been wandering the wilderness for this 40 years for this generation. So he concluded that 40 years was a generation. From 1948 to 1988 must be the last generation.
Right.
Wow. Okay, so that's pretty good. So we're like, he's right. It says it right here in the Bible. Mm-hmm. They were in the wilderness for that generation, for the whole 40 years. They were in the wilderness. So God says that 40 years is a generation. Now we go, okay, that's great. But then when 1988 came and he wrote that great book, 88 Reasons for 88, it was a precursor. It was like, okay, who's going to be the next generation person? Because now we say 40 years wasn't a generation. If you read in the scriptures, you'll see that God says that 70 years is a generation. Mm-hmm. And so now you begin to believe, okay, 70 years is a generation. When Israel was rebirthed in 1948, all we have to do is count for 70 years, and then we'll know that that's the end of the generation, and that's when the rapture and everything's going to happen. So looked pretty good, too. Yeah. 2017, what happened? Great. All the signs, eclipse,
great.
Four moons. Boy, I'm telling you, it's enough to make a little kid just burst, right?
Yeah.
But then the 70th year of Israel's birthday came,
yep.
And it went.
Yep.
But the scripture says all this will happen in this generation.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. When he said that before, he said that the temple was going to be destroyed in that generation.
Yeah.
So why would God destroy the temple in exactly 70 AD and then say again in chapter 24, in this generation, all things will, this will happen during this generation, meaning the rapture, and then nothing happened? Was he talking about a different generation for the temple than he was talking about for the church and for the end of all things? Because we only know of two generations in the Bible, and those two are the 40 years and the 70 years. Okay?
Amen.
Now we find out that there is another generation in the Bible that is mentioned.
Yep.
And God says to who? To Noah. He says, go into the ark because I have found you to be righteous in this generation. So Noah's generation was over with at the 120th year. So when Jesus says in this generation in Genesis chapter 24, what generation is he talking about? He says it will be as it was in the days of Noah. And so when I fast for 7 days, I mean, God says... I mean, you fast for 7 days, you want to hear some good stuff. And I say, okay, what now, Lord? He said, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. What was the days of Noah? Okay. So I looked at the days of Noah, and it's the end of the 120 years. Perfect. We're at the end of 120 Jubilee. Okay. It's on the 17th day. Okay. It's on the second month. Okay, so now I'm trying to figure this thing out. And so all of these things happening, and we find out what? That the 70th year passed from the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And what? And what? Nothing happened. So either the Bible's wrong or we were wrong. And now we got to go back and find out what's the generation Jesus was talking about.
Yes.
Because obviously we miss what the generation was.
Amen.
So if the generation, he says to Noah, go into the ark for you. I found you righteous in this generation. He only uses the word righteous and generation in the same verse one other time. And that's in Psalms. And then Psalms 14, okay?
Amen.
So the righteous, if our generation is like Noah's, then our generation is 120 years.
Yes.
Okay? And if our generation is like Noah, our generation is 120 years. That means at the in the 120th year, we will see the same event as Noah saw.
Yeah.
Now he's like, Pastor Sandy is crazy. Thank God I'm crazy, because you know what? I'll tell you one thing. And the Lord stopped me because he said, don't boast. But the Lord knows that when he called me to study. He did not call me to read the Bible. God called me for a study.
Big difference.
Okay? And through studying, I realized Rosh Hashanah is not the rapture.
Right.
when I say that, I'm not saying that to make people angry. I'm saying that because of study. Okay? Mm-hmm. When I say that, okay, God is not wrong about the 70-year generation. So obviously we got to find out what generation we're talking about. When I find 120 years, I have to go back and find out, is this 120 years that important? Is this 120 years documented in scripture? Is the judgment coming at 120 years? Has it always been this way in scripture? And then we find out, oh my goodness, even Eve, whose numerical value as the supporter Semet is 120, when she sinned, judgment came on the whole world.
Amen.
Her numerical value is 120. So we find out the next 120 is Noah's. Then the next 120 is Samson. Is Moses. Then the next 120 is Samson. So we find this whole rotation of 120 years bringing forth judgment all the time. And we're on year 120. Now, I said all that to say this, and I hope I still got time enough, Pastor Ben.
You do. 15 minutes.
Okay. I say all that to say this. God has not planned all of this for nothing to happen. I listen to the enemy sometime and I am laughing almost in tears. Because they're talking about in 20 years, everybody's going to be able to adjust to the AI and we'll all be half human, half robots by 2030. And you got Daryl Gates. We should be able to reduce the quality of life in the earth because we have to get rid of so many people. And by 2030, we're going to have all of this done. Daryl Gates is responsible for all of the vaccine problem, okay? Yeah. And him and Clinton's and all that. And I'll post that when I get home. But you got to understand, these people are demons. And I really believe that they're Nephilim, okay? And since nobody believes me, we believe everybody that looks human is human. I think you can tell Nephilim by their behavior.
Yes.
Okay? When you belong to the cannibal club or the cannibal restaurant, and you're one of the members on the list, I think that whole group is Nephilim, okay? Because human beings don't go to cannibal club to eat. You understand?
Amen.
But there's a lot of things we overlook because we only want to look at the goodness of Jesus, and that's it. But this world is being set up for the most incredible 7 years of its time, and we're at the precipice of it, and we need to wake up and not be one of these foolish people who fall into some crazy doctrine at the end of right at the beginning of the tribulation. You're telling people that you're once saved, you're always saved. You can be as lukewarm as you want. You're still going to heaven. So that is a problem, okay? Amen. Now, here we go. You're in Revelation. We're in Revelation chapter 4, okay? Because this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen, right?
Revelation chapter 4.
Yeah. Remember what happened in Noah's days. What happened? They entered the ark and it said, and the door was shut. Remember what happened with the 25 virgins. He says, and the ones who were ready went in and the door was shut. Then you get to Revelation chapter 4, which is the delete, the fourth letter, first verse. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. Now, he's saying after this, because in the previous chapters, he just talked to him about the seven churches. I'm going to show you what's going to happen after the seven churches. This is the end of the story of the seven churches.
Yes.
Okay. So he says, at once I was in the spirit and there before me was a throne in heaven. So John is now in heaven immediately.
Yes.
Boom. He's in heaven. And he says he sees a throne in heaven. And he says, And the one sitting there had the appearance of jasper, carnelian, rainbow, resembling emeralds, encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 elders, and seated on them were 24 thrones, and seated before them were 24 elders. And it says they were dressed in white and had crowns on their head. From the throne came flashes of rumbling, pearls of thunder. Before the throne was seven lamps blazing. If you go back to chapter 1, Jesus says the seven lamps are the seven churches. Okay? So now the church is in heaven. Okay? Jesus says it's the end of the church story, and now the church is in heaven, and Jesus, who is the ark, is standing in heaven as the door, saying, come in and shut the door. Why? Because a flood's about to happen upon the earth.
Yes.
And my whole thing in 2017 was prepare yourself, there's going to be a flood.
Yes.
Okay? And we are preparing for the flood, because we want to be taken up like Noah and his seven. We want to be taken up with Jesus and the seven churches, and we want to be in the kingdom with God our Father while the whole world is being flooded with what? Water? No, he gave you a rainbow to say he's not going to do that, but they're going to be flooded with trouble.
No, that's the gay people thing. That's not God.
Yeah, that's their thing. I want to write a scripture on that little thing that they have over there. So we have the church already in heaven, okay? And, okay, so now if you continue reading, you'll see there's this crowning ceremony that goes on. And then you get to verse 5, and then now it's talking about this scroll that's in heaven. There's this title deed in heaven that's sitting there, and John is trying to figure out who in heaven has the right to open that scroll, because that scroll has seven seals on it, and whoever opens that seal, they better be the owner of that deed.
Amen.
Okay? This comes from Jeremiah chapter 31. Okay? And he's telling them, look, do not be afraid, John, because there is somebody here in heaven who is able to open the scroll and remove its seals.
Yes.
Who can open that scroll? Only the person who has purchased that deed, or the purchased that property, who has paid the price, can open that scroll. If you open that scroll and you haven't paid the price, then you're in violation.
Yes.
And can be put to death in the rules of the Israelites, right?
Yes. Yes.
So whoever opens this scroll better be the one who paid the price for this land.
Hmm.
They said, Jesus Christ, the Lamb, is able to open the scroll, okay? And then he begins to open it. And the first one he opens, it says in verse 6, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and it was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. Okay? In Revelation chapter 19, we have a rider on a white horse, right? Let's see, verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. And with justice, he judges and makes war. His eyes are blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. Wow, just like Joseph. And his name is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven are following him. So listen. The real guy in the white horse doesn't come till chapter 19 at the end of the tribulation. Who's this guy on a white horse? Remember what we talked about last night. Antichrist does not mean completely against Christ.
Right.
Oh, that's Christ. Only part of it. The other part is to, in place of him, a imposter Christ, mm-hmm. a pseudo Christ.
Yes.
When he comes, he's coming as Christ.
Yes.
Okay? He's coming as the Christ. All these people who are falling into all of this foolishness of following anybody and just saying because they say Jesus, they must be. Those say Kenneth Copeland was trying to get everybody to admit that they're going back to the Catholic doctrine.
What?
At his church. Remember that he brought that guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He brought the guy to say, we're all Catholic. And, you know, because they want everybody to go back under the false prophet who will be the false prophet. And he's going to announce that. The one Christ is the same Christ that ascended back into heaven before he died on the cross. The Christ consciousness of Muhammad and Buddha and everybody, he's the real God, and he's bringing all religions together. And then now you've been following somebody who you thought was a Christian. Now he's telling you that this doctrine is true because that's the doctrine that Kanye believes.
Yep.
But nobody's going to listen because they people like God knows, if anything, if you won't get black people to follow you, just get a beat.
Get a beat.
Yep. Get something that they can groove to, and you can get them. And now he's going to, I don't know what he's going to be doing at Joel Osteen Church. Because when I go see Joel Osteen, I don't see that many black people, but I guess. But if they're paying him, how much are they paying him to come there? Joel Osteen's paying him.
$300,000.
How much are the tickets to get in that day? $50.
$50.
It's going to be packed. It's in Texas. It's going to be packed. The stadium's going to be packed. You know why? All the people that are fake Christians are going to run to the stadium on Sunday morning and buy $50 tickets so that they can see a false prophet introduced to them music with frequencies that open pineal glands and doors.
And
then you're going to set up a whole demonic system right there in Texas for a whole day. And all it's going to cost Satan is $300,000.
$300,000. That's all. Go out and
paper,
print it up.
But y'all not going to listen to me because I'm crazy Sandy. And I'm crazy Pastor Sandy. And I'm just a guy that's telling you that the rapture is right around the door. Okay?
Pastor Sandy, he's selling hoodies for $250.
I know. $250.
And something else.
Oh.
Dude.
And now look, to do all that, you have to actually organize all this. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
This stuff's been organized. So he got born again. It was already planned.
Yeah. I know, right?
It was a financial plan last year. Well, first you got to get born again.
Ooh.
We got to get you on TV. Like, who can we put you on? Well, everybody will take you.
Oh.
Colin O'Brien, all the night shows.
He hasn't denounced anything, has he?
No. He didn't denounce nothing. But it's okay. God said, watch what I do.
Yeah, we're crazy.
God said, watch what I do. Yeah, yeah, he's not mine. Watch what I do. Yeah. Keep your eyes open. Sandy, keep your eyes open. Watch what I do. Okay, now, we talked about last night, once he opens this scroll, these are all the things that begin to happen on the earth. He goes out as a conqueror. And then it says the Lamb opened the second seal. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. Then another horse, a fiery red one, and the rider had the power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. Now, someone says to me, Pastor Sandy, in chapter 7, it says there are going to be millions. It says it's going to be a number that nobody could count that are going to be in white robes at the end of the tribulation. So many people are going to get saved through the tribulation. This is awesome news, Pastor Sandy. I said, okay. It says you can't count. Now, if I ask you to count up to a million, can you do that for me? Take you a long time, wouldn't it? Okay, so let's say 1,800,000 got saved during the tribulation. How many people on the earth after the rapture? Let's say this. Let's say 500 million get raptured. Okay, let's just say that. Okay, that's a big number, right?
Right.
It's a big party. Now, let's say 1,000,000 No, let's say 1,800,000 get saved during the tribulation. How many people on the earth? 7 billion. So if you manage that and that, you said about salvation, about 3 billion, close to 3 billion at top. What happens to the rest of the 5 billion people? See, this is what you're not, we're not seeing the other side. We're saying there's a number that can't be counted. We don't know how many that number is because we don't know how many are perishing upon the earth, okay? Causing million. It says one in a one war, it says a third of the world population died in one war. So if there was 3 billion people on the earth at that time, that means 1 billion people would die on the earth at that. I'm telling you, the world is about to see something they've never imagined.
Never.
They've never imagined what they're about to see. But yet, we're being drawn into false doctrines, false religions. Well, anybody says they're a Christian, we're going to follow them and allow them to use music to open up pineal glands and get people demonically possessed. And then they're going to have problems in their Christian walk. And so I keep telling you, he's on tour for Satan. This tour was planned. It's not a tour that he woke up and he accepted Christ and now they're deciding what they're going to do. This tour was planned. And so I'm telling us we need to wake up, because the only thing of importance to God is that my people are about to be taken out of this world. And your concern is to be that you are going to be one of those that is leaving. Okay? You're one of the people that's leaving. Stay in relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't let people draw you away with false doctrines, okay? Because there's nowhere in Scripture that tells you that you can continue in sin after you accept Jesus and everything's going to be fine. There's no Scripture that tells you that, okay? And you know better, because the Holy Spirit you receive will tell you that that's a lie, okay? I don't even want to get into the other religions, you know, because most of them started off in those religions. But there's a lot of falsehood. But I'm saying there are people that are Christians that are going away into stupidity. And there are now Christians that are willingly paying money to go to a concert that satanic music will be played with Jesus' words on top of it, opening your pineal glands, preparing you. And I bet you they're going to probably have, what is Cindy Trim? They're going to need some Kundalini people there, right? Because they're going to do some stuff. Some people going to fall out and that spirit's going to be in there and they're going to be shaken. Oh, I'm telling you, it's a setup. I can't tell you. But I can't tell you because you don't want to listen to Pastor Sin. Because all he does is talk about Jesus and the rapture. And, you know, and look, the rapture hasn't even happened. You know, and I always say what the Lord says to me. Noah preached this for 120 years, Sandy. Noah preached this for 120 years. What year are you on? I said, I started in 2003, Lord, so let me see, 16, 17 years? What are you, why are you tired? You know what I mean? What's your problem? You know what I mean? You think he didn't get any ridicule the first 17 years? You know what I mean? You think that Noah got no ridicule after the first 17 years and he's building the ark and there's no sign of water coming out of the sky? What about the 60th year? Do you think they were now laughing at him and say, it's been 60 years and you still ain't finished the ark and you're still talking about? And then when he finished it, he's on a year 97 and he's crazy. You know, the boat's finished and nothing happened. Now he's collecting animals. I don't know what's wrong with this guy, right? So I'm saying, for me, I've been at this since 2003, and it is a mandate from God. So I'm not going to quit. I'm going to tell you, prepare yourself to leave, because that's the mandate. Prepare my people to leave. Praise God.
Pastor, they want to know, when did once saved, always saved get started?
In the book of Revelation, as you read about the church of Nicolaitan, it really started with Balaam, okay? Because Balaam wanted to make money. So for him to make money, He had to curse God's people, but he couldn't curse them because they were living for God.
Right.
So Balaam figured he couldn't do it, but it doesn't. If you go continue reading in that chapter, Balaam went back and assisted him and told the king how to do it, how to get God to go against his people. And what did he tell him? He said, if you send these women from the pagan countries over into the nation of Israel, the men will begin to sleep with the women and their own God will curse them.
Yeah.
But I can't curse them. But if you get them to sin, their God will curse them.
Yes.
Balaam taught that king to do that. And that's what he did. So then you get to the church of the Nicolaitans and you say, here we have the same situation and they're setting people, God's people up by telling them they can sin,
yes,
that sin is okay, and that it's you're already God's people, so don't worry about it. You can eat meat, sacrifice, you can fornicate, you can do all of these things because you're God's people and you can't lose your salvation. Mm-hmm. That was the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Study it, read upon it, and you will see. That doctrine, which is what we're talking 70 AD,
mm-hmm,
is back.
Yep.
Okay? And you got Christians falling for it. Okay? So let's pray out.
Thank you, Pastor Stanley. That was great.
Our whole church family, and I want us to get, if you watch these, and you haven't hit the subscribe button, I want you to hit the subscribe button. And it's not because we're being monetized, because ever since I told my little black church not to vote for President Obama, they are not going to monetize us. Okay. Nobody's going to monetize Soldiers for Christ. Okay. So we're not saying you want you to subscribe for that. We want you to subscribe because we realize through tracking that a lot more people are watching,
yes,
than YouTube is showing.
Yep.
And so we want to see how many people. So if you never hit the subscribe button, I want you to hit the subscribe button so we can have an accurate account of how many people worldwide are watching,
man,
this message of warning that the rapture is soon. Praise God. All right, here we go. Yivarekaka Adonai Yishmareka. Yair Adonai Panavileka Vehuneka. Ye Ase Panavileka Veyasim Lekai Shalom. Veyasim Lekai Shalom. Here we are. And it says, the Lord said to Moses, when you see my people, make sure that you bless them in this way. Tell them this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Yes.
Yeshua HaMashiach, Anachnu Tefillim, and we say, Le'itrio B'Shavua Haba, stay grounded, stay in Christ, stay in your word. Hallelujah.
Amen. Excellent work, Pastor.
All right. Purukata.